You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
They can't do 3 hours of TV in the NFL offseason, they said. Well, Good Morning Football here doing 3 hours of TV every day and a podcast every week because the 3 hours isn't enough. Kay Adams here. We got Nate Burleson. Hi, Nate.
Hey, what's up, Kay? How you doing?
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, hey.
Hey, Peter Schrager. Hi.
Hey, Kay, what's going on?
Not much. Brant.
Kay, it's the number one question we got for the whole season. Are you guys going to be on in the offseason? And then the follow-up question, what are you going to talk about? Mm. And we're like, it's a great question. We're wondering that ourselves, and here we are.
So we've been, this is only the second day back, so maybe I shouldn't be saying this, but we had a week of vacation. I feel pretty good about what the season, off season is going to look like. There is a lot to talk about.
It feels like summer school a little bit, where there's not the pressure of, okay, we've got, it's kind of like loosey-goosey. It's still school, but it's almost like we can talk in.
Yeah, they let you work in groups, you know, you put your desk together, it's a little lax.
A lot of hypotheticals.
Go outside,
collaborative effort on the test.
Yeah, yeah, group test.
Wait, so you went to summer
snacks.
School?
Maybe snacks.
Was it voluntary or were you trying to school.
With Mark Harmon?
No, not with Mark Harmon. The guy was in the bathroom the entire time.
I did summer school.
Did you?
Yeah.
High school?
High school.
Okay, really? You did it like
and
to
college.
Get ahead.
I had to get residency in Missouri so I could pay less. So I did that there. So I had to do summer school. But I also did in high school. I did like the classes I didn't want, like chemistry.
Got you.
So I could just
did
take one
summer.
Class. Yeah, yeah. I've done that.
That was good. Smart.
I liked summer school. I feel you. All right, so we are here. We had a week of vacation and we all went to beaches respectively. I went to St. Lucia, mm-hmm. had an incredible time. Go ahead, Nate.
No, hold on. Yeah.
Tell us about your trip. Don't you do that.
It was honestly very relaxing. I don't want to talk about it. It was wonderful. I am back. We have to talk about
You don't have to go into details, but how long were you there? What was the room like?
From Sunday till Sunday.
Sunday to Sunday?
That's a long vacation.
Sunday to Friday. Yeah.
All right, so about 5 days, Kate. Do the math. Six days. How many drinks do you think you had? There's 6 days.
It was unbelievable. I don't know how people drink.
Is it
like
40?
Travel with family, friends?
16 friends. I met so many people.
Yeah.
When you're on vacation, it's so great because even if you go somewhere like by yourself for a minute to like read a book or catch up or like take a walk by yourself, mm-hmm. you're so open to meeting people because you're just in that state of mind.
Yeah.
That like I feel like I met people that I'm going to be friends with for like forever because it's just that vibe.
A stranger's just a friend you haven't met yet.
That's exactly what it is.
Michael Bublé sang about that.
Well said.
Trigger, what'd you do?
Went down to Florida with my wife for a couple of days. It was great. We were in Miami. But more importantly, over the weekend, we did a photo shoot with our newborn Mel, a 3-month-old.
I saw him.
We had a professional photo shoot, which was something I was kind of against. I was like, it's a little weird, and I don't want to pose. And then he was so well-behaved and so great.
Guys had the all-white on.
All-white. I mean, like, pure. he was so great. He's a little angel, and, you know, I'm really proud of him. He hung in there for 2 hours without wailing, and that was a major accomplishment.
You know what I was impressed by is that typically with those, the photo you end up picking – the wife looks amazing. The baby's looking right at the camera, sort of a smile, and you look like dog crap. But you don't. Normally, the dad looks terrible because the wife picks it.
The whole thing was like, I'm like, Erica, my wife, I said, do we need to dress? I don't know. All I see is the cheesiest photos on Facebook of the guy wearing the same like flannel as the kid. And like, look, I'm like, I don't want to. She's like, just wear white. I'm like, that's kind of weird too. Like,
Peter, welcome to parenthood.
From the heavens.
You.
So we did it. And I had like one.
It is kind of angelic.
Yeah.
Picture.
Like, I had one white button down and I wore it with blue jeans. And it was the most like basic, and I was
it looked good.
At what
it
point, do you, when you guys have kids, do you decide in the newborn stage to go for the photo shoot? Like, is it when the wife's like, I'm feeling fresh, I'm feeling great?
That's what Erica wanted because she was like, a lot of people do it the week of.
I would be like, get out of my face.
That's
I'm not doing
saying.
That.
You know what the call to order is in our family? It's that first holiday card. Like, we got to get that out. We got to let everyone see. And it is, you got your marching orders. You got to be here in this clothes. So that's what it is.
So it's not like a certain, like, oh, he's 5 months old now. He's 3 months old.
For us, it was when the neck. Got strong because the babies have the weakest necks, and if you're trying to take a picture, they're sitting there looking like a bobblehead, and they can't focus on the camera. So once they're able to like hold their neck straight and focus ahead, pictures always turn
out
good.
He did 2 hours.
Two hours. And every photograph we'd had was just on my phone or something. So it was like crazy to see the three of us together. So that is really hot take stuff, really satiating for the NFL audience. But that was my big week. And we had a good time doing it.
You did. Well,
I think Kyle and I can't wait to babysit because we're going to show him Star Wars immediately.
We can't wait to have you babysit.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. Let's just get right to it. So one of my favorite moments so far in this very young week was yesterday on the Monday show, first week back. And Kay, somehow we got into talking about Star Wars. You're talking about the Raiders, and you compare
Raiders
them to Empire Strike
Strikes Back. Yeah.
And Peter piped up very proudly to say that he's never seen a Star Wars movie, right?
Yeah.
You're so controlled.
Then he goes deeper and say anything sci-fi.
I've never seen Lord of the Rings. I've never seen Game of Thrones.
Chronicles of Narnia.
And then Will Selva, our newsman, jumps in astutely and says, well, now you got Mel. Just wait. You're going to be watching. He goes, no. My son's not going to be asking about some dragon from Narnia. We're going to be watching game tape and the cover 3 with a robber. Peter, you're very proud that you haven't seen Star Wars. It's counterculture. You like being that guy who says, I don't watch TV or I'm not on social media. You feel good about that, don't you?
I don't go to SoulCycle. I go to Flywheel.
Yeah. Always the alternative. My Facebook page this week was just pictures of kids from high school who saw the Red Hot Chili Peppers in concert. Like, that's not something I would ever do. Like,
but these are better than Chili Peppers. Do you know Star Wars, right?
Like, it's I would never see the Chili Peppers.
It's a society.
I would go for a free concert, but I'm not paying money to sit in the bleachers to see the Chili Peppers. Like, every single kid in my high school at age 35 went and saw. That's what I'm saying. I'm not into that stuff. I'm into Star Wars. Everyone telling me it's you need to see. It's like the show The Wire. The more you tell me I have to see it, the more I'm less gonna see it.
It's an educational experience.
Yeah, go screw yourself.
So let me ask you this.
How about I'll read a book?
This is my favorite stuff of the week. Star Wars is such a big part of society. You must
see
know some of it.
Oh, it's like a guy from The Wire.
You must know some stuff from Star Wars, right?
Yeah. Like Lando Calrissian.
Do you know what kind of animal Chewbacca is?
Yeah, he's a megalomoid.
what color lightsaber does Darth Vader have?
Pink.
No, I don't even know.
It's
red. Is it red?
Of course.
Yeah. I would have to think about
Luke,
it.
I am your father. James Earl Jones, the whole deal. And then there's
so
a
you
bunch
know
of,
some stuff.
I've seen
right?
Spaceballs a million times.
Wait, have you never seen like the X-Men movies?
No. That's good.
You haven't seen any of that?
I saw Hitchcock.
Hitchcock?
Did you see Deadpool?
Or Hancock?
I didn't see I saw Hancock.
Hitchcock is the director, the birds. Hancock is with Will Smith.
I did not see Deadpool. I watched 5 minutes of Deadpool. I watched 5 minutes of Ant-Man on a plane once.
Oh,
I said,
no.
Get this crap off my screen. Ant-Man.
But you love Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, because it's hilarious.
Yeah,
so that's like the most watched television program ever. That's completely not. That's conformist.
But it's realistic.
At its best.
I know. The fact that everyone rolls their eyes at Big Bang.
Including me.
And Two and a Half Men. And now Two Broke Girls I'm really into.
Ugh.
Hey, really? They live in Greenpoint.
They are funny girls. And that show is very well written.
I know why you like that
you
show. There's
like
two really big reasons you like that
lady.
Show.
I'm not into that Kat Dennings,
yes,
Kyle.
Yes, you are. Two gigantic. That's not what I'm talking about. How do you know that's what
oh
I mean?
My
you
God.
Sound like
gigantic,
an old lady. They are funny girls.
They are funny girls. they run a cake shop, the whole thing. So
cupcakes, right?
Cupcakes, yeah. And the
I've caught it.
The scene in the diner. It's hilarious. It's got great. Anyway, what I'm saying is, because everyone rolls their eyes at them, is more likely that I'm going to like it. Now,
do you like Lena Dunham?
That's a classic example of something that I watch every week, girls, but I can't on record say I like. Because it's so counter, it's so indie, like that's just not me.
Kay? Man, you are so cool if you watch Girls.
Yeah.
I mean, Peter, it's funny that you're into that.
They went to Poughkeepsie this week. Yeah,
the Two Broke Girls and all that, like there's those fast food sitcoms. Like that stuff drives me crazy. That to me is the Lord of the Rings. Oh, I hate it.
I watched
it.
Desi has an oxy addiction. It's wild.
That was crazy.
We haven't talked about it, Trey.
They've been married for a year and they got divorced and she didn't even know.
Welcome
that's
to the
that's
off
how self-involved she is.
Let's welcome to the off season. Let's get to your vacation because this is the big deal. You guys want to stay tuned to this because basically Peter and I are nonconformists and we went against the grain and I went to the West Indies and he went down to Miami and everyone else hung out together.
Yeah, this one blew my mind. So you guys went on vacation separately but were at the same hotel resort for a week.
Yeah, for we were there and not only that but also Stephanie who was on our staff here at Good Morning Football was there as well.
And she sort of put this together, I imagine.
Mastermind the whole thing.
Okay.
So she basically Nate, I mean she had a hookup. She had
the hookup. Yeah,
the very nice resort will get you there for
she
a fraction
of the price.
Kind of
casually brought it up to our wives and I don't know about your family but in my family, Toya, my wife, is the planner. So she started asking me, where do you want to go? I was like, I just want to get away. So once she started planning, I just, book tickets, pack the bags, and I show up.
Yeah, I have a weird feeling. I have a weird feeling that Kyle is not the planner in his family. No, I'm going to go ahead and guess. I'm going to go ahead and guess it's Brooke.
You know, but Nate is such a networker and such a social butterfly. We walked to the resort, and the question leading into this trip was,
are you on the same flight?
No, different flight. But it was like, we were like, are we going to run into each other? Are we going to see each other? How big is this resort? Never been there.
Did you Google it? Like, how many rooms?
A little bit. We walk in, we check in.
I call immediately.
Within 60 seconds of us walking in the hotel room, I see Nate from behind. I know it's Nate. He's talking to all these people I don't know. And he's like, hey, this is Sherry from Kansas City. She's a big fan. This is Tom from Denver. He watched the show all the time.
He did a slideshow on Good Morning Football this morning.
Yeah, and then he's like, oh, yesterday I met this guy. He's a billionaire, and he's at the bar. And like, Nate, you were just working it, man. Like, I do get away from all that, but you're into it.
I get really excited when people walk up to me and they talk about the show, just because for me, this is like the proud baby of all of us. You know, we started this at the same time, and this was really new. Like, I remember our first week, it was like 30,000 people were watching us.
Yeah.
And for people to be on vacation or across seas, different places, and we're international on a vacation, and they're walking up to me, like, it blew me away. So, yeah, I was excited. KB walks in with the family, the mom.
the funniest part, Nate. I'm sorry.
Kyle have one of his kids on a leash.
No, the funniest part is that Nate will be talking to these diehard Good Morning Football fans, and I'll walk up, and he'll be like, look who's here. And they're like, who the hell is this guy? You know, really? Kyle Brandt. And they're like, hi.
He's winking hard at them.
Take a picture. And they're like, could you take the picture of me and Nate? Unbelievable. And so then to top it off, Nate.
Nate, that is amazing.
So it's me and Nate, Stephanie. It's this whole Good Morning Football convention. We know those are our people here.
Were you wearing lanyards?
No, we should have been, though. So we, the Brandt family, which is the three-year-old, the six-month-old, and the wife, we go down. We're going to the beach. And to go to the beach with the kids, it is so – it's like – bringing down the gates of hell. There's so much equipment. We got sand toys and, you know, the sun lotion.
You bring them with
everywhere.
You buy them there?
You buy them there. And
you bought sand toys there?
We couldn't pack them. We didn't have room because we had to bring the breast pump and the diapers and all the backup breast pump and the manual
breast pump.
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah. It's very hot. So we finally get out on the beach.
Breast pump sound effect by you, Shriggs.
That's it.
It's like a dairy farm. It's really incredible. So finally we get out there, and I got one kid here and a baby here, and I'm like, I'm on vacation. I'm so pissed off already. We haven't even gotten on the beach yet. And you know, I'm here with people from work, but I like them. That's cool. I walk out. The second my foot hits the sand, I hear someone go, wait, is that Kyle Brandt? That guy's rad. And I'm like, there's one guy I know in this world who has a joke with me about rad, and he's former Giants center Sean O'Hara, who is also part of the show.
I thought you were
going to
say Ian Rappaport.
I wish it was. No, I love Sean. Sean O'Hara is there, completely by coincidence.
Who is probably the most frequent guest on our show.
He's like the sitcom guy and lives next door.
His family is so attractive.
She's amazing, but it was just, they kept coming out of the woodwork. I thought Rap Sheet was going to be there.
Seriously.
I thought Selva was going to be there. Seriously. Charlie Casserly. They were falling out of the walls.
It was everybody.
Selva could have been a good bartender.
I think so, too.
It was fun. We had great drinks.
Nate was incredible. We had a couple shots nights. Yeah. We had that type of stuff.
Was it one of these deals where, hey, Nate, are you guys going to dinner? We'll meet you at 6 o'clock? Or was kind of you guys did your own thing?
Separately? Well, we linked up one night and just had drinks afterwards. We were bound to run into each other, even if we didn't plan it. So we saw each other a few times a day. It was a great trip, though. But getting back to that bar situation, like, there was fans that came up to me and kind of introduced themselves. But there was a guy who was sitting at the bar, and he said, hey, I like your watch. And I had on an Invicta watch that I got on sale somewhere. So, like, me versus then, like, now I just tell people, hey, it's an Invicta. I got it on sale because I'm proud of, you know, I find a good deal. Not that I don't have expensive watches, but I just, at this point, I don't really care about what I wear. I wear it because I really want to wear something specific that day. Versus 10 years ago, I probably would have said what watch it was and how expensive it was. So,
if Invicta's listening, send
watches. Yeah, exactly. Send it to all of us. So I think the guy was kind of caught off guard, like, why would he say that? But it's just me now. So then I'm walking away. I'm like, hey, you're the watch guy. He's like, yeah, you weren't talking to anybody, so I just wanted to say what's up. You and your wife were kind of over there all alone. And I was like, no, we weren't alone. We're just having drinks. We're about to go back to the room, and then come back out for the beach. So as I'm talking to this older gentleman, I notice he has one arm. So now I'm staring at this arm, just fixated, like, I want to hear the story about this arm. And as we're talking about life and drinks and vacation.
Wait, talking about life and drinks and vacation from hey, how's your watch? How'd
you get
to
that? We're tipsy. So,
you guys got one arm, meanwhile.
Social butterfly. You know, I just get to talking. And then a fan comes up. Hey, can we get a picture? I pause for a picture. He's like, what do you do? And I'm like, nothing. I used to do one thing, and now I do another thing. It's on TV. I downplay it. Another fan comes up. Hey, I really love a pitcher. You know, big fan, watch you every day. So he's like, wait a minute, are you like a rock star? Like, what do you do? So now I couldn't really deny it. I'm like, well, I used to play football, and now I'm on TV. So we started talking about. Then he gets.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I played bass with the Foo Fighters.
Lenny Kravitz, nice to meet you.
Hootie and the Blowfish. So then he's like, you know what? I got to tell you about business and life, man. You know, when you first get money, you don't need to spend money. And, you know, you don't need the big house, the big car, and the jewelry.
Sounds like he's talking down to you.
Yeah, he's talking. And I'm like, you know, I'm listening because I've learned to respect my elders. He's an older gentleman, so I'm kind of listening. But at that point, I realized he does something that I'm interested in knowing about, but I don't ask the question. So I'm just listening. And he's like, you know, you're probably thinking, you know, why the hell is this old guy telling me? So I was like, not really, but I'm interested if you want to tell me. He's like, and I was like, I'm also interested in that arm. He's like, well, I was born with that. I grew up in New York with nothing. Family just kind of made our way. And right now I run one of the most successful businesses, you know, in the States. And I'm like, well, what is it? He's like, well, put it like this. On the Forbes list, our family is 139. And 139, very specific number. So we get to talking. Modest. He shares a few more notes and gems about
what
you
does
know,
he
dealing
do,
with
Nate?
Money. He runs like food and services. It's the Maines family. So David Maines, shout
Kenny
out to
Maines
David Maines
from ESPN.
Yes, right. Kenny Maines comes from money. So I was looking at it. And it's like they make, I want to say, $4 billion annually.
Ooh,
that's
real money.
So we started talking, and he was cool as a fan. We exchanged numbers, exchanged information. So it's just crazy how over a couple drinks, casual conversation.
Did Stephanie, our producer, get him the reduced rate?
Nate, that's a good question.
He doesn't need it.
Nate's at the bar talking to billionaires. I'm up screaming at the housekeeping lady to come back later. Come back. Do not walk in the room. Come back. We need more towels. That was my conversation.
So yeah, it's crazy. But we had a good time.
Is he going to come by the show?
I'm going to try to get him to come. I'm trying to get him to buy the show.
Exactly.
Sponsor us a little bit.
But Kay,
that's
unbelievable.
It's weird. But you know, I know, you were talking about it too. You run into people.
Yeah, but you and I could not be more opposite when it comes to this. The fact that you're inviting to people, like I got to this beautiful resort. I wanted to think about nothing with football for a week. I get in, and then they call them butlers. I think it's outrageous. That's what they call them, though.
I just picture Clue. Tim Curry.
It's so weird. I had like a villa really up high. So we put our stuff down. He comes to the door. I open it. He comes in and he's like, you know, hi, how are you? Whatever. He doesn't know my name or whatever. And then within less than five minutes, it took this man, Gus, in St. Lucia. I call him the mayor of the 800s. He's amazing. To talk to me about how much he loves Nate Burleson. And kept going on and on about he loves Nate Burleson. What am I doing? And he watches our show on the app.
See, that blows me away.
Every day. It blows me away. But where you're like, let's take a picture. I'm like, oh my God, I'm in my bikini. I'm in my, like, on my deck in my plunge pool. Like, why you're in, like, 2 feet away from me. I'm half naked. Get out of my place. Like, I'm like, so. Yeah,
that's probably half the reason why I didn't want to leave. But
you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a different.
Wait, you had a pool in your villa?
No, she didn't say pool. She said plunge pool.
What is going on?
That's a great little
I don't
thing,
understand.
Man.
It was awesome.
Listen,
yeah, I love
I
a plunge pool.
I need to see pictures of this room.
It was so awesome.
Oh, it's not a room, by the way. It's no room. There's several rooms within this domicile.
Yes. So listen, who drank the most out of you and Sean O'Hara?
Oh, man. Oh, me and Sean O'Hara. I thought you were going to ask Nate, because that's not even close. What I love about you, Nate,
Nate
some people have a tell when they've been drinking, and some people you can't tell. You know, people get flushed or something like that. You got to tell, man. Those eyes go at half mast, and you get so happy.
They get low and
they
get glossy.
Get real low and slow.
Yeah.
But O'Hara, like, look, O'Hara is 2.5 bills at least, and he's doing that day drinking with a bucket of beers. They had this
just knocking them down.
K-Brew was their Cayman beer down there. It was like their Budweiser, and he just has one after another another.
Do people recognize Sean O'Hara, you think? Because he, like, stands out.
He's
striking.
Striking man, beautiful family, big guy. But no, I think they're all about Burleson. I didn't see him, Sean O'Hara, get recognized. I'm sorry, Sean.
Yeah, he's a big guy. He fits in, though, because he just has this smile about him, his way about him. So he almost, the way he was, like, enjoying himself, you know, he kind of looked like he was a local down there, man.
And part of me wanted to get him drunk and be like, so, Sean, man, tell me some Eli stories. Tell me about Plexico. Tell me about that. And I know he would have. But
should have conspired to do that.
And then I would just tell him all right here. I'm not going to do that. We didn't get into that, really. But we were just with the kids.
I love you guys, but it would be my nightmare to be on a vacation where I run into you guys every 3 seconds.
And it happened a lot.
Yeah, it's not my thing either. I think when we're off from the show, I like a little church and state. But I love you guys, and I love you as much. But I don't know about vacation. That really is
a lot.
Hey,
it's a tasty discount, though, Peter. It's a nice resort.
How great was it? $99? How much were these rooms?
No, it was a lot.
Trust me. Was it a good discount?
It was incredible.
It was a really good discount.
See?
Look at this. It's an incredible discount. I mean, look,
here's the thing, though. Like,
we didn't have no plunge
I'm
going to
be asymmetrical and go this weekend.
And we're going to go. That's asymmetrical.
And we didn't like one thing we did well. We didn't plan on seeing each other. Like, if I saw him, I saw him. And most of the time we saw each other, we just ran into each other. It wasn't like meet you here at 6. It was like, oh, you're here too. Let's get a drink. Like,
you
that's
know,
how
I would
it was.
Love yes. seeing you guys on vacation. We'd have a blast. I'm just being sarcastic, but I wouldn't plan it.
No, obviously. We didn't plan it. It's fine. No. Just bumping into
you
each other.
Well, you guys didn't even know each other were going for a long time. Anyway, Elizabeth Montes, we're back, obviously. Football. We're going to be there on NFL Network for 3 hours every morning, guys. So wake up with us. We're not only going to talk NFL. We will not only talk beach vacation stories. We will talk other things that are going on. Some NBA. I know Nate wants to get into that.
100%.
Some fashion. We're going to do, I think we're going to do like a bracket for Toe Drag Swag. Swag. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you excited about that? We're going to talk about everything. We're talking about music, fashion, movies. This is a true morning show. You know, we're here to talk football. This is the NFL Network, but this is just like any other morning show you tune into. We want to give you everything that's going on. So this is the destination for all.
And the big story has to be Tony Romo, right? Tony Romo's what we're going to be talking about day in, day out, and with good reason, because there's so many different angles of what they can do, and there's a lot of time before they can really make a decision, right, Peter?
Yeah, and that's why it's an interesting thing. We were taking the piss out of it today on the show, saying, oh, we saw Tony Romo on an elephant. But
that was really something.
Yeah, it was Well, the show. Anyway, I mean, it's like, A,
I still can't believe it happened. Go
he's on the Cowboys now. Okay, so you've got this whole aspect of he's a backup quarterback. B, he makes a lot of money. C, they'd have to trade him or they can cut him. So, like, there's all these different stages before he ends up on another team. And then once he's finally available to go to another team, then it's what team? So there's all these different layers, and really isn't. And I think Peyton Manning was the last one where there was sort of this kind of sweepstakes feel to it, where it's like, where's he going to end up? And at that time, Denver was not even in the conversation, which makes this Romo thing kind of interesting that we're hearing Kansas City or Houston or even Denver, but there's always that wild card team. So to me, the Romo thing, because of his legacy and what his career is and how good the Cowboys were without him in the lineup, mm-hmm. makes it so yeah. much more dynamic, because it's almost like addition by subtraction this year with Dak playing so much better.
But let me throw this out there. You know, you talk about Peyton Manning, and we all know that situation and how it played out. But leading up to that, like this period right now that Tony Romo was in, I feel like Tony Romo is more appealing for teams. And I say that for this reason. Yeah, I get it. Peyton Manning's a legend, broke all the records. You know, Super Bowl, he has two of them. He only had one at this point before he went to Denver, correct? But we didn't know if he was healthy. He spent that offseason healing up, and mm-hmm. we were thinking to ourselves, what? No,
he missed a whole year.
That's
first.
What I'm saying.
Big old scar
we're
his
saying,
neck.
Like, the guy with the fuse, like, he had something fused in his. There's no way he's playing again. We don't have that same type of curiosity about Romo because of that last drive. Mm. He went in there and played.
Wait, you didn't even want to see that drive.
I didn't want to see that drive.
It was a nice little sample, wasn't it?
Nice little sample. But guess what? I think when you're looking at the board, which is he still on the team? Is he healthy? Are they going to restructure? Can we trade him? Is he going to get released? The relationship with Jones? All these different things. The biggest one on that board is he healthy? Now you can start the conversation about the rest of that stuff. So that's why for me right now, even though Peyton Manning is a legend, I was so concerned about Peyton Manning's neck for some reason. I thought, there's no way this guy's going to sign.
It would always be like, Peyton, how's that first hit going to be? You know, he got asked about that all the time. Yeah. Those DirecTV.
And it's the same thing with Romo, but sure. One thing we do know is right now he will get paid as a guy who is healthy.
Does Romo want to leave Dallas? Yes.
I think he wants to be the starter in Dallas. He can't be the
– so we can agree. Yeah. We can all agree he does not want to stay in Dallas.
I think when he gave that speech, with that letter,
he wants to compete.
Which was great.
You are making a lot of the relationship between Tony Romo and Jerry Jones. I sort of disagree with you in the fact that it's business and I don't care.
You're absolutely right. And it's more from the Jerry Jones side to the Romo when I talk like that, that Jerry loves Tony. That's a fact. But you're right, Kay. It's a business. And for Tony's own good, it doesn't have to worry about good feelings. And
Is there a way, no matter how, and all those different angles that we've talked about, is there a way that they strain their relationship at the end of this?
That's what I think everyone's trying to avoid. But of course there's a way. Of course there's a way.
But I don't think it would happen.
I don't think it will happen either.
And
he ends
up on the Redskins.
Yeah, like that's the only thing. If like it can go both ways. It can be
even then
they screw him over and they trade him to Cleveland or the Jets, and he doesn't want to go there. Mm-hmm. Or the other way, he's a free agent and he says, "You have my word, I'm not going to go to a contender." Then he ends up or an NFC rival, and he ends up being the quarterback of the Redskins next year.
Like they trade him to Cleveland, he's retiring, right? I mean, Tony Romo on a play.
Remember when Jake Plummer was traded to Tampa, and he was like, "I'm going to retire. I'll eat $50 million," and he did. He
play
retired.
Handball
he's
for
like, "I don't care. I'm not going to Tampa." So,
it wasn't 50, was it?
Oh yeah,
it was up there.
I think it was.
Jake Plummer's a different kind of guy, but I think this Tony Romo thing has been interesting, and I'm guilty of this myself. I feel like it's been the greatest thing for his reputation getting talked about like this. Because let's think about this: he's hurt a lot. We know that. Nate, you covered that. But also, like, he has this reputation of he hasn't won much in the playoffs at all.
He's not clutch.
Well, even that, like, what is he got? Yeah, he's got a couple playoff wins.
No big wins.
No. Like, and all of us are, you know, myself included, we're like, they can get him and then they can get to the Super Bowl. And, you know, Houston could get him or Denver can get him.
There's always somebody else that, there's always somebody else
that's not Tony Romo. It's never been. Like, we give him so much credit, like he's Tom Brady or something like that. And I like him as a guy and I like him as a quarterback.
That 2014 season.
Yeah. I mean, it was great.
In the conversation since then, you're right. It's kind of overshadowed the perception of who we thought he was.
Yeah, he lost to Green Bay. Too bad. Like, Tony Romo is hardly some playoffs-tested warrior who's going to get you to the Super Bowl. He could easily go and fall on his face.
Why do we all love Tony Romo?
I think he's the best available. I think he's the best ball.
I think it's when you're the Dallas Cowboys quarterback for a decade.
He's very famous.
You are a famous. You are one of the top 100 most famous people in the world.
But Peter, don't you think like we're kind of overhyping
him? And he's so likable.
And he's great.
Very likable. Great guy.
Great dude.
I'd want him to be in my poker game,
my
golf
foursome. On the sideline, you got a rookie out there taking your job, and you're smiling nonstop.
I'm telling you, I said this on the air on Monday, and I didn't get much pushback, but I am telling you, if he wanted to work for Fox, NBC, CBS, NFL Network, or ESPN tomorrow, they would give him a seat at either their main table or in the booth. He's that famous a celebrity, that well-liked a guy. Wins or not, when you are the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys for more than a decade, you are in rarefied air. You are in LeBron James category. Yeah. You are America's team. You're on TV every weekend. Win or lose, if you can sustain that, that is mega, mega celebrity. So say he goes to, what do we say, Houston? Yeah, is it like Joe Montana going to the Chiefs? A little bit. It's like this like secondary market compared to the one that he was in. But the Texans are getting – that's the biggest storyline going into next year to
me. I was thinking about when you said that yesterday because I know you of all people truly have a love and affection for sports broadcasting.
Yeah.
You look at guys like Jim Nantz and Phil Simms. And you love them. Yeah. It's great. But I wonder, like, Nate, like as a player, even if he was up there doing the CBS pregame show, that's not the juice of being in the huddle or under the center at all.
I don't think anything can replace that, right?
No. I mean, at that job to him, it's exciting to us and it's a great opportunity for him. But from going to the Dallas Cowboys to doing a pregame show with Shannon Sharpe.
We've got a guy right here. Nate Burleson had offers while he was playing.
Right. But here's the thing, though. I think when I left, I was exhausted physically, even mentally, emotionally. Like, I felt like I gave everything to the game. You know, I make the analogy. It's like a relationship. Like, she was good to me. I was good to her. But it's ran its course. And we both walked away mutually appreciating what was. Tony Romo, he still wants it.
Unfinished business.
It's unfinished business. That's a great way to put it. So, yeah, he could find a replacement girl, but really he's always going to be in love with the game because the relationship didn't end on his terms.
So my point is that being there, that is your side piece, right? Like, that is there no matter – that is his booty call. No matter what, I can tell you there is a job that is safe.
100%.
You're not going to hurt yourself. You're going to get compensated. You'll be on TV
every week. Buys him time.
I think it gives him leverage that, like, he doesn't need to go to the first suitor. He could say,
he
doesn't
need to go to Cleveland
options.
Browns. I know we're dogging the Cleveland Browns, but
he doesn't need to go to Buffalo.
They're 1-15. It's okay. Yeah.
Like, the NBC studio show might be more appealing than being the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns next year and with no offensive line.
Let me get back to what you talked about with Jerry Jones and KU asked, is it going to strain the relationship with Jerry and the Cowboys organization? And I'll tell a little story briefly. So, I played 11 years. I went 10 years being the guy that never lost his position, always earned his money. It was either number one or number two, and I never had to worry about being cut. Not that I felt complacent, but I didn't have to worry about being cut. And then I go into year 11, I get cut twice in 1 year. So my mindset going into a season or the final season where I knew I was under contract and it's a possibility I got cut first time in Detroit, just came off the broken arm at 39 catches, around 400 yards, 500 yards. So I'm thinking to myself, yeah, they could bring me back. I'm making a little over $3 million. But as a businessman, I don't think I would bring me back. I mean, yeah, if you add up the numbers, in a whole season, I could possibly give you 80 catches and 1,000 yards. But if you look at the trend, I'm getting older, body's banged up, coming off a broken arm, it's most likely I'll get injured again, and then you're not getting the return on your investment. So as I'm thinking about all this, just replaying all these different scenarios in my mind, I get a call from Martin Mayhew. And he was like, Nate, signed a 5-year deal. We've been here for 4 years. You know we love you. The city loves you. We know how you feel about Detroit. And, as soon as the phone rang, I knew what it was. And he said, we're going to go in a different direction. And I was like, look, it's all good. Then he went on to kind of speak a little bit more. And I said, you don't have to give me the young guy speech. I literally get it. I'm fine. Like, I'm going to come in there. I'm going to bring my playbook. I'm going to dap everybody up. I appreciate the opportunity. Like, I thought playing with Randy was special. Playing with Calvin in this kind of new era and helping bring Detroit back to relevance, like, that meant the world to me. And on top of that, like, pay me a lot of money. I don't care how big the check is or how small people think checks are in the NFL. You're playing a game that you fell in love with at recess. So, you know, I was in love with that game, and I was in love with how it went in Detroit. So then I left thinking I should go on the TV. 11 years in, my agent calls, said, man, listen, Miami, Cleveland are interested. Like, you know what? I'm going to Miami. I'm going to spend this last year. And to be honest, I was halfway in, halfway out, just in my career. 12th year, I'll spend in the sunshine. Family gets to hang out in Miami, feet in the sand for a season. It's good. I went to Miami. I enjoyed the visit. Went to Cleveland. Visit sucked. It was raining. I just felt like, oh, man, I'm back in the city with a cloud hanging over the city, metaphorically, but also the organization. But in my head, I'm like, as a football team, I could play Josh Gordon. They got Hoyer. They're hungry. Like, I like hungry teams that people dismiss. I'll sign there. So I signed there. There was a stipulation in my contract that regardless of what happened, I was going to make, you know, a quarter of the contract. So if you do the math, I'm supposed to make $1 million being a veteran. I walk away with a little over $250,000. I break my arm, refracture it, tear my hamstring. Not a minor one, but a huge one. I missed 3 games in the preseason, come back, limping my way through the 4th preseason game. I catch around 4 balls. Media comes in right after the game. They say, man, we're so glad that you caught them balls. I mean, you had a great camp, had a great summer, but we knew if you missed the whole preseason, it'd be tough for you to make the team. But you're out there 80% limping around. You're still getting the ball. We're glad you're going to make the team. I said, wait a minute. I'm not sure I'm going to make this team. What do you mean? Like, you did more in one game than guys have done all preseason. Yeah, but just got to think about it. Like, if I'm Ray Farmer, like, why would I keep a 33-year-old wide receiver that just got hurt twice in the last few months? Like, well, you kind of like pissing in your own cereal after this game. I'm like, no, I'm just being realistic. I go home, sitting in my apartment in Cleveland by myself. Phone rings. It's Ray Farmer. Hey, I want you to come on in. Bring your playbook. It's like, all right, cool. Come in. We're talking. Put the playbook down. He gives me the same speech. I say the same thing back to him. Bro, I get it. I get it. You don't have to explain nothing. He had young guys on his team. Josh Gordon, still on the fence whether he's going to play or not. Mm-hmm. Taylor Gabriel, who was in the Super Bowl. Yeah. Willie Snead, who was a monster out in New Orleans. Charles Johnson, who plays for the Minnesota Vikings. Travis Benjamin, who's coming off injury. Andrew Hawkins, friend of the show. All these guys on the roster that are cheaper, faster, hungrier, mm-hmm. being honest. And he's like, look, man, I'm sorry, man. And he's like, you know what? I know you want to get up and you probably want to run the hell out of this facility because you're frustrated. Can I ask you one question about these young guys? Because we got a young group of guys, and we're trying to figure out who to keep. I said, one question. I pulled up the seat. I said, we can stick around for as long as you want. Sat there in that office for an hour talking about each young guy, the strengths and weaknesses, where I see them and their skill set and how it fits into this team. So, you know, bring it all full circle, when you talk about the relationship being strained between player and organization, it depends on your mindset. And I feel like because of the awareness between Jerry and understanding what Romo has done and meant to this team, not only as a player production, but also jersey sales and popularity, mm-hmm. and Romo, with the Dallas Cowboys, being a starter for his team, what that does for him and his brand, even if Jerry said, hey, we got to cut that contract and we're going to ship you away, I think Romo's going to walk away saying, thank you, Dallas. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you, even though it might look ugly on the outside looking in.
That Ray Farmer phone call, man. I mean, you know what it made me think of? You know, you love movies. It made me think of Moneyball. When yeah. Brad Pitt tells Jonah Hill, just go talk to them. They're a professional. They'll understand. Tell them very cleanly, and they'll get it. And he goes in and tells them.
I don't think every player is like that. Yeah, I think that you thinking out of the owner's perspective, I've got to think that that's rare.
Well, it's – listen.
Or learned being a veteran.
Put like this.
Sort of crazy.
There's a joke that Chris Rock tells about, you know, living in a big house. And how he's like always has his backpacks by the door because, yeah. you know, the white people might come. And he's
take
like, oh, I got to go. I knew he was on the way. So it's – like, I felt like when I got in the league, I always had my bags packed because it was so hard to get in and it was so hard to stay in. Like, and I knew guys who grew up with that were better than me in high school, college. And I knew guys in the league that when I got in as a rookie were better than me. And then I ended up beating them out. Now, maybe it's my way of keeping myself humble and hungry, but I'm very appreciative. So, like, yeah, you're cutting me, but, like, I got away with the greatest fantasy in the world playing football, like playing a kid's game. Mm-hmm. And getting paid handsomely for it. So if somebody says, man, you're not good enough anymore, we're going a different direction, like think about the positives. Think about what you like were able to take away.
You also said in your 12th year you weren't as hungry. So exactly. We've got a Romo who's clearly very hungry. I think the four of us can agree with that. The four of us can also agree that he is not going to stay in Dallas, whether he's cut or whether he restructures, whether he gets traded, or whether he's shipped off. It's looking like Kansas City, which is super interesting.
I don't know. I feel like if Peter King and Ian Rapoport say it, everyone kind of runs with it. But I remember doing down this Peyton Manning thing. I remember this.
If we're looking at
no one talked about
quarterback hungry teams that are going to compete, those are those.
It fits the puzzle.
Remember, Peyton was going to go to the Titans.
Yeah. Titans, the Dolphins.
Oh yeah.
He's from Texas. If he stays in Texas and goes to Houston,
yep.
How they're just going to what? Osweiler is like.
I don't know. That's just like a Ian on the show. And
reports
like,
that he can get cut.
No, that's the thing.
Osweiler?
It's not reports.
What is that?
Like Ian was on our show and threw it out there, and almost like a well, you can always cut Osweiler. I'm like, whoa! If you cut Osweiler, you're saying that we made a we're eating $76-70 million investment. Like I don't know.
That's not how it's going to be said. We made the stupidest decision possibly in franchise history.
It's like Boogie Cousins' decision.
Like you just say it. That's how it is. No team wants to cut a guy that they just paid. Now, a couple years down the line, you can make him an excuse.
Or
a year after, you just gave him one of the biggest contracts.
Or if there's a new GM or a new coach, I mean, that's the thing. They say, well, that's not my guy.
And also, are they just going to give Osweiler 1 year? That was it? They already know he can't play. He's done. It's not the future. He's not good.
He can't get better.
It's a small sample size,
offense,
man.
Can't learn offense a little bit more.
Have you seen enough?
Personally, yes.
Really?
Listen, I just think he just didn't have it. He didn't have any it. And it didn't. You know what the worst part was, Nate? It didn't get better as the year went on. Like it wasn't like week 14, week 15. All right, he's clicking now. He's had months with his receivers and everything. It was flat. And then Savage comes in and he had a spark.
Meanwhile, though, this is a funny thing about Osweiler. Numbers weren't great. He didn't wow us, and you could say there's other reasons for this.
Made playoffs.
They win the playoff game.
They won the division. Won the playoff game. Did it without J.J. Watt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they could have been 12-4 with J.J. Watt.
Bit,
we don't know.
But they did
also
with
that, they did also without
division.
Brock, too, though.
I'm Romo and I have that defense and I have J.J. Watt coming back, I'm thinking.
It's
I
very
would
tempting.
Love.
And you're playing the Jaguars.
In that division, Blake Bortles looking the way he did last year.
I think we just decided. He's got to go to Houston. That's it.
He's got it. Now, to me, the more interesting quarterbacks are Cousins and Garoppolo because both those guys are currently under contract with other teams.
I agree with you. They're more interesting than Romo to me.
And there's much more upside for me with both those guys. I think Romo's a 2-year, 3-year thing, if not just a 1-year thing. I look at Cousins in that situation. We had Mike Garofalo on the show today, but the Redskins will not put a ring on it. That sounds so corny, but
that's a good way of putting it.
They're sleeping with them every night, and at no point are they like, "Hey, let's just make it a known thing that you're ours." They
a lot of
because
headaches
if you're
too.
In a roller coaster relationship, Peter, where it's up and down, and sometimes you don't know what you're gonna get. You're gonna get we had the best date ever, and it was amazing. We made out for 10 hours.
23-point comeback,
or we fought, and you went psycho on me, and left the bar, and we're drunkenly knocking on my door. Then you don't put a ring on it.
I think the Redskins are pretending they're sleeping a lot. You know that move.
The phone is calling.
Oh, it's been tired.
No, I'm talking about when you're right
you're
there
sleeping.
In the bed.
Yeah, you're sleeping.
Are you awake?
I got a headache.
Because it's interesting. Because I think
tomorrow in the morning.
If you take the poll on Redskins fans on Twitter, they all want to see the engagement ring. They all want to see the.
They're in on Cousins.
They're the relatives saying, "Hey, so what's the deal with you and Kirk? Are you guys going to get together? What's going on? It's been a couple years now.
It's a nice boy.
It's 5 years now. You've been together. You might as well just.
The underlining storyline, and we've talked about it on the show, is that it's really hard to find an elite quarterback in this league.
Is he though?
No, here's the thing. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You wouldn't call Kirk elite right now, and that's fine. He's a good quarterback. Last year, played really good moments.
He's not elite. I will use the Kyle Brandt Hall of Fame way he decides that. If you have to ask the question, he's not, right?
He's not. If you have to ask a guy's elite, he's not.
So, Nate, what's your point, though? There might not be all that many elites.
That's the whole point. So, after you get the five best quarterbacks and you look at Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, maybe even Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, once you get to 8 through 20 –
you're right.
It's this constant average in the sense of the league. I'm not calling them average in life because
Nate,
they made the NFL and they're starting quarterbacks.
But Nate,
average quarterbacks make $19 million a year.
He's going to get paid.
Yes, he will. And Tannehill is the perfect example. He gets paid like an elite quarterback. Everyone freaks out. Romo gets paid. Stafford, Cutler.
Osweiler.
Yeah. And the thing is, on the other end of it, you have a guy like Matt Ryan or Joe Flacco who forever was in that same conversation, and then they do make the leap. So if maybe you give Cousins the money and you say you are our guy.
They found themselves a nice boy. You know how many teams want to meet themselves a nice boy to marry who will take care of them? And, maybe occasional the 10-6 season, maybe you win a couple playoff games. Having a good quarterback
who's not
quote-unquote elite puts you ahead of most teams in the league.
You're in great shape.
Flacco did it at the right time.
Calling for Alex Smith's head. Brent.
Yeah. Well, Alex Smith's had a lot of runs at it. And we also have an example in the past of when he was replaced and then found a better guy. So, Alex Methang's in different positions because he's tried it so many times, and Cousins hasn't had that many shots.
There's good quarterbacks that have good regular seasons. Then there's really good quarterbacks that make it into the postseason. And then there's great quarterbacks that win Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about Kirk Cousins, good quarterback. Really good ones. Matt Ryan, really good. That's really, really good.
Matt Stafford,
really, really good. Great ones, win the Super Bowl.
Okay, so do you pay great money for a good quarterback in this day and age? No. Or do you let him walk? Because the Redskins, what they're risking is all those guys lose their jobs if they go and they sign Mike Glennon and they go 1-15. Everyone loses their jobs. It is safe to just say, all right, let's just pony up and give money to Cousins. In your heart of hearts, though, you probably know we're never winning a Super Bowl with this guy either.
Even if we go 10-6.
We're never going to win with this guy. Because we couldn't win this year.
Did they know that, though? Second in the league in passing, young guy, hasn't been through it year after year. How did they know that already?
If they thought that, they would have paid him.
You're right.
There's room for improvement, though.
That's why I think they should pay him.
Here's the other thing. They drafted Robert Griffin the first round, second overall. They drafted him in the fourth round. They still might look at him as a fourth-round pick, even though because all the same guys are there. They might look at him as he is still our 100th overall pick. We made him. He didn't make us.
And by the way, Peter said Robert Griffin in the first round. It sounded like you said Robert Griffin the first, his grandfather. So we're talking about Robert Griffin the third. They drafted him in the first round.
In the first round, second overall, they traded a million picks for him. So that one's interesting. And then the last one we talked about on the show a bunch is Garoppolo, who is the great unknown. It's the great X factor.
Jimmy Graps. Reach the Chicago Bear.
What's your gut telling you, Shriggs?
I think...
Chicago.
I don't know. I think Cousins is a Redskin next year.
If I say Chance the Rapper, does it mean anything to you?
Earlier that you said?
Lake Michigan.
Niners. These are just Chicago things?
Yes. Niners.
That was so interesting to me.
Garrett's popcorn.
That was so interesting to me.
Garrett's is good.
You said the Niners?
Today, Cousins, I said Niners.
I like that for some reason.
Well, Kyle Shanahan was with him for 3 years in Washington.
That's what I'm saying.
And I did games with John Lynch. I was a sideline reporter, and John Lynch, and he gushes over Cousins.
I also think Deshaun Jackson finds his way back to California in Los Angeles, San Francisco.
Yeah.
Throwing that out there.
Well, they've got – so Garcon and Deshaun Jackson, they're all free agents. They can't bring all of them back.
Nope.
You got to bring back
– they lose everybody.
In my head, you got to bring back the deep, I don't know.
Isn't Deshaun like Tavon? Like, don't they have the same guy? Like, they've got Tavon Austin,
Tavon's more like in between the hashes.
That's why I said Garcon's more like.
Let Garcon leave and keep. I mean, you got to keep Deshaun Jackson.
Top off the coverage. Does he have the same speed as he used to? Probably not, but he's the
deep ball
guy.
He'll get big money. Yeah, Deshaun will get big money.
Deshaun Jackson.
Isn't that wild? I think it's wild. So Garoppolo, anybody having last thoughts on him before we wrap it up?
He'll be a Patriot.
You think so?
Yeah, they're not letting him go anywhere.
Really? Because Brady's going to be 40?
He's 40, man.
But Brady's a vampire, though.
He is a vampire. He does great. He does eat strawberries.
And next year, so then what happens?
He goes somewhere else, Nate? Like, and they get nothing for it?
He's only under contract another year for $1 million.
Then they pay him. They pay him backup money to be.
He's not going
to
take backup money. He'll be paid starter money.
Are you trading Brissapolo? Are you trading Brissette?
No, Garoppolo doesn't want to stay there as a backup.
I'm saying, so.
Yeah, I don't know. You put the pressure on me now. Backtracking, I have no idea.
He's turning 26 next year.
He's ready. It's his
time to leave the nest. You know what I mean? He's had the time on the field.
See if he can fly.
Under Brady, we got to see if he can fly.
Everybody sees that they can fly. All the times they land on their face, little birdies.
No, they do.
Yeah, but some birds just die in the cage. You got to get out at some point.
I feel like some of the things that we're hearing about him, especially here on our own network, on NFL Network, with Julian saying he's got the confidence of a Favre.
Marvin Rogers.
And really, Chris Hogan backed that up on our show, Good Morning Football, yesterday. Like, it doesn't seem like he's a complacent, let me be the backup to Tom Brady.
I mean,
it must be nice. Hey, I have 2 Super Bowl rings, and I'm lifting the Lombardi Trophy on the duck boat with Tom Brady standing right behind me. That's a wild image. But at some point, like, you've got to think he wants to get out there and do it on his own. I think you don't think that players are fine being backups? I think backup quarterbacks are the best game in the best
position.
Like,
if you're on
the
Patriots, you're fine being a backup.
I don't know,
if you're anywhere else,
really?
I got to get out of here.
Competitive fire. You want to be the guy.
100%. I get that for sure. But I feel like there's complacency. Why haven't we heard from Jimmy G? Like, is he the Patriot way? Like,
yeah.
Yeah,
exactly
on, man.
That.
Like if you really want to get paid, your agent, somebody should be out there.
He's not a free agent yet.
Okay, but I understand that they're talking about trading him and getting, like, your agent should show up somewhere. Like, man, Jimmy G
and
wants to stay
what?
Here. He wants to be here. He wants to be a Patriot forever. Or he wants to get out of here. He wants to be a.
Why
starter
would you cause trouble?
He already got 2 rings, right? He's only making a million or two. Like, if you got something to say, say it.
You should jump on Twitter at Jimmy G and just be like, I'm the man, who wants me, that type of
no,
thing.
No, just listen.
Believe that.
He hears the rumors, right?
Yeah, no, for sure.
His agent hears the rumors, right?
Sure.
Like, what? Do you know what Jimmy G wants to do? Do we all know? Does he want
to
remain
It's
a
not
backup?
Up to him right now.
We don't know anything about
he's
that.
He's under contract with the Patriots.
But somebody
it's tampering
should ask
if he does
question.
Anything.
His agent should say something.
Okay. Good stuff, guys. We'll see you guys.
You want to be an agent?
I do.
3%, do you?
That 3% makes a lot of money.
You, that's me, big. And David Maines, the Ooh. Paper distributor.
Oh, yeah, David Maines. He's 126 on the list or something.
We get people jobs in Good Morning Football. We're quite good at that. All right, we're going to see you guys each and every morning. NFL Network, great guests. It's the offseason, so players will be funneling in and out. It'll be a revolving door and a lot of fun. You guys can download us. Where, Nate?
NFL.com/podcast. Also iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.